Thank you, Michael and praise team. If you have your Bibles, and I'm glad you do have your Bibles and you got your ears on, turn with me to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. First, I'd like to say thank you to all of you for your gracious kindness to my family and I. We've celebrated 15 years here at First Baptist, and so many of you, you're so precious to us and our family. We've raising all our girls here, and our youngest girl's headed to Siloam Springs to summer camp. How many of you been to the summer camp up there at Siloam Springs? And then we want to pray for Brandon and all those kids as they head up there for this week. But thank you so much for your kindness to our family. Today is part three of a series we started a few weeks ago, The Gospel is Enough. Pastor Greg will be back in Luke next Sunday, so I look forward to that. But Brad started us off 3 weeks ago, and as we look at Luke 24, we began with a focus on the person of the gospel. Notice in Luke 24 and verse 45, he, Jesus, opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "It is written that the Christ should suffer." And Brad looked at Christ as the suffering servant, the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 53. And then last week, Justin looked further when the scripture says that he should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed. And last week, he looked at the power of the gospel to provide forgiveness. And obviously, the forgiveness that we have with God and the peace we have with God, but also Justin looked at that aspect of peace with others and reconciliation and forgiveness with others in our lives. Today, we continue in verse 47 when the scripture says that this gospel, it should be proclaimed in his name to all nations beginning in Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. So today we look at the truth that the gospel is enough for everyone. And because the gospel is enough for everyone, then we should go to all the nations. And how fitting that we're praying today for a team on their way to Kenya, because as a church, First Baptist, we've been blessed for so many years to be a going church, a sending church, going to all the nations to proclaim the gospel. Today, let's start first with the fact that the gospel is enough for all nations. Focusing in here on Luke chapter 24 and verse 47, that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. You see, first, the command, proclaim this gospel, Jesus says, this good news about me. I am your suffering servant who died on the cross for your sin and rose again the third day. I am the one, the only one who provides forgiveness of sin. This gospel about me should be proclaimed to all nations. Well, what does it mean to proclaim? It means to publish publicly. Whether you learned in world history or U.S. history when, you know, Paul Revere on that horse going down Boston, what was he doing? He was publishing publicly. Something's about to happen. You and I are to proclaim the gospel. We're to publish the gospel to all nations in a public, very public way. But notice also next, the center. What exactly are we to proclaim? Look at that tiny little prepositional phrase there in verse 47, in His name. We are proclaiming the gospel. We are publishing publicly in His name. In His name. The His there refers to Christ. We go in the name of Christ. We pray in the name of Christ. We give in the name of Christ. Everything we do in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the center. He is the center. He is the hub of the will. Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5, for we do not proclaim ourselves. Don't we live in a troublesome world today? Don't we live in an anxious world today? What is the answer? The answer is not in anything that we can give. The problems of this world are problems that we do not have the power to solve. And so Paul said it clearly. We don't proclaim ourselves. We're not the answer. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. That's what our world needs today. Our world needs the Lord. Our world needs Jesus Christ. Our world needs the forgiveness and the peace that only He can provide. So we go as slaves. We proclaim the gospel as the slaves of Christ, as the servants of Christ, carrying out His command, carrying out His orders. Jesus is the center. And that's where we see in this passage the Great Commission. Here at First Baptist, you're not going to be here long until you hear either Acts 1:8, Matthew 28. Here it said in Luke's gospel, what we call the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to all the nations. Proclaim the gospel in My name, Jesus says, to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. I know if you're like me, every Sunday can sort of turn into a routine, but I want you just to pause for just a second. And I want you just to think with me for just a second why you're here. And it may come to your mind, well, I'm here because I do this every Sunday, or I'm here because I'm supposed to be here, or I'm here because I got in the car and drove here. But think a little deeper than that. We're here today, gathered in the name of Jesus, because somebody obeyed this commission. If we went around this room today, I could ask you for a name. Who told you about Jesus Christ? Who proclaimed the gospel to you? Who fulfilled this commission in your life? Every single one of you, there's someone. There is someone who shared Jesus Christ with you. Starting in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, some 100 and something people gathered there in Jerusalem, and Jesus said, here's the power, now you go. And one by one, starting in Jerusalem, one by one in the first century, some 2,000 years ago, one by one, they went and shared the gospel of Jesus. One person at a time. One-on-one. There's been a lot of changes in our world in 2,000 years. There's been a lot of changes in church history. But you know how the gospel is proclaimed? One person at a time. Maybe it's a mom and dad with those precious children that are growing up. Maybe you're a teacher or a coach on that school campus. Maybe you work out at Tyson or the nuclear plant. Maybe you're walking down the road in your neighborhood. That's how the gospel is proclaimed. We carry out the commission of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we start here at home, and we go with the gospel across the state, across the nation, to all the nations of the world. The commission of Jesus Christ is still the same. Take my good news to all nations, to all tribes, to all people groups, everywhere. Well, let's think about who it is that gives this command. In Matthew 28, Jesus says, "All authority has been given to me." God the Father gave all the authority to Christ to issue the commission to go in His name and proclaim the gospel. When we look back through Scripture, we see that this focus on all the nations does not just start in the ministry of Jesus. It does not just start at the end of Matthew or the end of Luke or Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. The Scriptures tell us back in Genesis chapter 12 that there was a promise made to Abraham. And when the Lord appeared to Abraham, He said to him, "All the nations will be blessed in you, Abraham." All the nations were on the mind of Christ. See, when He issued that commission to us, well, where did that dream, where did that vision start? It started in the heart of God all the way back with Abraham. All the nations, Abraham. "I'll bless those who bless you. I'll curse those who curse you. And in you, Abraham, all the families of the earth will be blessed." We know the story of Abraham, old age, no children. How in the world would this happen? God, in His miraculous ways, gave them a son. And from Isaac to Jacob to the 12 tribes of Israel, through the tribe of Judah, the Messiah, the suffering servant, born of the Virgin Mary, lived a perfect, sinless life, died on the cross for our sin, rose again the third day, gave His commission, ascended to heaven, and will someday, hopefully soon, return again. And we proclaim the gospel to all nations because of this promise. Paul would say later in Galatians 3 and verse 8, says the Scripture that foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles, you and I, by faith, proclaim the gospel to Abraham ahead of time, saying to him, "All the nations, Abraham, will be blessed in you." So the Apostle Paul says, "So then those who believe in Jesus are blessed along with Abraham, the believer." That's why you and I are here today. We're children of God. We have obeyed and believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so there are believers all over the world today because of those who carry out the commission. Think about this praise song from David. These words are sprinkled all over the Psalms. We see them first in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. In conjunction with the ark being moved to Jerusalem. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 24, David said, "Declare His glory among all the nations, His marvelous works among all the peoples." King David saw it. King David saw that the majesty of God, the goodness of God, should be proclaimed to all people, for all people everywhere. It's a fascinating passage. I just want to read some of it with you today, 1 Chronicles 16. He says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among all the nations. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of his wondrous works. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember his covenant forever. Remember the word that he commanded that endures for 1,000 generations. The covenant that he made first with Abraham, his sworn promise to Isaac. Sing to the Lord all the nations. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. And he is to be feared above all gods, little g gods. Why was it important in King David's day to publish publicly about the greatness of God and the glory of God? Why is it still important in our day to publish publicly the gospel? Because guess what? There's other people proclaiming other sources for salvation, for forgiveness. You see, King David said, our God is the one true God. He's to be feared above all the gods. And he continues in 1 Chronicles 16, for all the false gods of the nations, they're worthless idols. But our God made the heavens. Our God, the one true God, splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his presence. So, O families of all the earth, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering, come before him, worship before him in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Let the heavens be glad. Let all the nations rejoice. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. We're reminded of at least two things every Sunday when we gather together. One, we're reminded as we gather in this place that Jesus Christ has not returned. We gather and we worship here because the time has not come for his return. We're waiting for our Savior to return, and then we will worship him in his presence. But secondly, we're reminded of this. We still have more time to go to the nations with the gospel. There's still time left. There are still people groups unreached. There are still people lost and living in darkness. We still have time. And maybe we need to be reminded of King David's praise song today that our God made the heavens. Our God is the one true God. There's no one like him. Give glory to him. Worship him and tremble before him. Let all the earth know the Lord reigns. I want you to know today that whatever you may be dealing with or family members in your life, whatever, God reigns. God is on his throne. God is in control. And the sooner we believe that and realize it, and the sooner that this world does, joy and strength and peace come from him and him alone. King David would remind us again of the position of our king in Psalm 46. Be still. Be still, David. Know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Our God is the glorious and majestic King. He's enthroned above all the nations. He is King over all. And there's coming a day. There's coming a day when Jesus returns. Revelation chapter 4 gives us a glimpse of this, where one day you and I will be standing around a throne. Revelation 4 says, John says it this way, I was in the Spirit. There was a throne there in heaven. There was someone seated on it. And there were those around the throne. And they were there all day. And they were there all night. And this is what they were saying or singing. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the all-powerful one, who was and who is and who's still to come. And whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to the one who sits on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, there were 24 elders there. And they would throw themselves to the ground before the one who sat on that throne. And they would worship him who lives forever and ever. And they would throw their crowns down before him. And they would say to him who was seated on the throne, you alone are worthy to receive glory and honor and power. You created all things. And because of your will, all things exist and were created. All the moments of history, all the moments of the present, all the moments of the future are moving forward to this day when all believers from everywhere will be surrounding that throne and saying to the one who sits on it, you alone are worthy of our praise. And so that should be our singular focus as a church. The gospel is enough. When it comes down to it, the gospel is the only thing that we need. I've been privileged being a part of this church for 15 years to go to all around the world. And I've been privileged to go places they may not have electricity. They may not have a beautiful facility like this. They may not have all the fancy children's programs that we have. They may not have all the fancy summer camps. But you know the one thing they have that we share? They have Jesus. They have Jesus, whether you go to Africa or Asia or the Middle East or Europe, South America. They worship Jesus. That's got to be our singular focus, church. If there's any agenda that we have that's more important than that, guess what? We need to change our hearts. If we're complaining about something else that's more important in our mind or heart than the gospel of Jesus Christ, we need to change our heart. We need a heart change. Jesus Christ for all the nations. Lastly, in this passage, back to Luke chapter 24, very specifically, Jesus says, proclaim the gospel in my name to all nations, and you are witnesses of these things. If you could go back to that room with me in Jerusalem that day, and Jesus pointed at the people and he said, this is up to you. This is up to you. You've experienced my love. You've experienced my grace. You've experienced my forgiveness. You have placed your faith in me. Now you are my witnesses. What is a witness? A witness who provides, one who provides testimony to the truth. We serve Christ by being a witness for Him. Do you have a testimony? Do you have a testimony of what Jesus has done in your life? Has Jesus given you peace in troubled waters? Has Jesus been the light in your darkness? Has Jesus Christ been your joy in unhappy circumstances? Has Jesus Christ been there for you in the lonely times? Has Jesus Christ been there for you when you've lost loved ones, when dreams have been shattered? You see, what Jesus has done for you, that's your testimony. That's your testimony. Whether it was Brett or Justin that shared this, you know, we spent a lot of time learning how to share the gospel, and we should, but when we boil it all down, just tell people what Jesus has done for you. If He's given you peace, forgiveness, change your heart, change your life direction, give testimony to the truth. The truth about Jesus. Where do we do this? This is where Jesus in His Great Commission, He makes things very simple. All believers, everywhere, in all the nations of the world. Just so we're reminded, I'm as patriotic as it comes. I love America, but the gospel didn't start here. Somebody came across that big ocean and brought the gospel. The gospel started with just a small group of people in Jerusalem, and they went to all the nations. And so we're reminded today, all the nations are important in God's eyes. All the nations of the world are important to Him. Why? He created all the people of the world. So whether you're in North America or South America, God created you. God loves you. Whether you're in Asia or Africa, God loves you. Whether you're in Europe, God loves you. God created you. God cares about you. And He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you. So because someone came to Russellville, Arkansas with the gospel, we go. We go in the name of Christ. We start right here in the name of Christ, and we go with the gospel to all the nations. Acts 1:8, when you receive the power, when the Holy Spirit power has come upon you and indwelt you, then in the power of God, you shall be My witnesses. You start here in Jerusalem. You go throughout Judea. You go across the cultural barriers, the ethnic barriers. You cross over to Samaria. And then you keep going to the end of the earth. And in 2022, the Church of Jesus Christ, I have breaking news for you. In 2022, the Church of Jesus Christ, we've not reached the end of the world yet. The commission is still active. Our commission is still active. We must continue to go to the nations. But who? Here's where I want you to zero in on this truth, lastly, is the people. The people. The people of all the nations. The people. I'm a child of the 70s and 80s, but you remember that song, People Need the Lord? Remember that? People. Real people. I'm thankful I grew up in a home. Believe me, there were four real boys in that house. And they were loud, and they were rambunctious, and they were crazy. And the preacher would have to point at them and say, "You come up here and sit with me," you know. But my mom and dad, they shared the gospel with real people. I don't know if I've grown up yet, but I got three girls of my own. One's about to be a senior in high school. I'm in anxiety classes for that. But my wife and I, we share the gospel with our daughters, real people. And so many of you around this room, you held them when they were babies in that nursery. You were their kindergarten teacher. You were their sixth grade teacher. You were driving that bus to Columbus, Ohio last month. Real people. You know, outside these doors out here, there's real people in Russellville, Arkansas, that are lost and dying without Jesus Christ. State of Arkansas, North America. Those little refugee tents that Brad was talking about, I've sat down with him in tents on the other side of the world with real people who have hearts just like you and me. And when they cut, their blood runs red just like you and I. And they have a sin problem just like you and I. And they're real people who need Jesus. And unless we go, they'll never hear the name of Jesus. So just as you are a real person, and if you paint yourself, it hurts. There's real people just like you in this town and around the world that need to hear the gospel. And so Jesus, just as this, if he's standing in this room and he's with us today, but I want you to think about this. I want you to hear this command, and I want you to hear it personally. You are my witness, Jesus says. You are the one who will accomplish my plan, Jesus says. You must publish publicly what I have done for you. And so what happens? What happens when you and you and you and you and you and what happens when I go and publish publicly the gospel? What happens? Back to the end of time, when John had this vision, he looked around, there was an enormous crowd. No one could count. There were people, real persons, from every nation, every tribe, every people group, every length, speaking every language, and they were all standing around the throne of the Lord Jesus before the Lamb, the precious Lamb of God, dressed in long white robes that God had provided, His righteousness, palm branches in their hands. And what were they shouting? Salvation belongs to our God. Salvation belongs to my God. You hear that verse that Michael shared at the top this morning? Every good thing we've received, somebody's given it to us. God has given you salvation. God has given you forgiveness. God has given you peace. And one day we're going to stand around His throne and we're going to say to the Lamb, worthy are You, for You. We're going to see Him face to face. And we're going to say, You're worthy. You gave me salvation. To the one seated on the throne, to the Lamb. So as our musicians come today and prepare for our time of invitation, I just want to remind you, the gospel is enough. The gospel is enough. The gospel's enough because there was a suffering servant that one day took our sins on His shoulders and He was nailed to that cruel cross at Calvary. And before He breathed His last breath, He said, "It is finished. It's paid in full." And the one who died on the cross for our sins has the power to forgive all your sins and all the sins of all the people of all the world. And that's why we're reminded today we've got to go proclaim that good news to all people everywhere. So who's your one? I want to give you a homework assignment. Who's your one? Who is one person that God, through Holy Spirit power, is putting on your mind and heart right now today? Who's your one person that you can say, this is what Jesus has done in my life? I'll tell you the truth. I'll give you my testimony of what Jesus has done for me. Who's your one person right now that God's putting on your heart and your mind right now? Would you pray with me right now in Jesus' name? God, give me the opportunity to go in Your name to this one person, Lord Jesus, this one person. Father, we pray now. I pray that there are names popping up in the hearts of all the people in this room. Who's that one? That one real person that I can share the truth about Jesus. And Lord, may there not be anything more important this week on my agenda than that one person hearing the truth about Jesus. May there be nothing, Lord, more important than carrying out Your commission, one person at a time. Change my heart, oh God. Give me Your heart. Give me Your eyes. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Would you stand? And if you have a decision you'd like to make public, you have that opportunity.